The views and opinions expressed on all radio shows broadcast on the Mixed Talk Radio Network are entirely those of the hosts, guests, and callers, who are totally responsible for all show content and do not in any way reflect the opinions or an endorsement of the Mixed Talk Radio Network. Our clients are the respective staffs. The broadcasts are presented and made public in the hope that they will be entertaining to our many listeners. They're not intended to diagnose, treat, or mitigate in any way any disease or condition, or to promote any specific lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or any other personal practice. Enjoy what you hear on the Mixed Talk Radio Network, and know that any decision to take, use, consider, or share the information you hear is yours and yours alone. And thank you for listening to the Mixed Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Interviews. I'm Donna Vasaki, and I am here all by myself today, right before Christmas. Our dear Kimmy is in the hospital. She had emergency surgery late last week, and she's still in the hospital, but she's doing okay, and we ask that everybody send her lots of love and healing light and everything for a speedy recovery. It's been kind of touch and go and scary for a while, but I think she's turned the corner and she's going to be doing just fine. So we're going to be without Kimmy tonight, and but I again ask everybody to send her lots of love, lots of healing energy and light, and prayers that she will be just fine and out of the hospital soon and home before Christmas and heal very quickly. So it's an interesting time of year for a lot of us, and especially with Christmas coming up, it's hard, I know. We were very excited because we have an amazing guest on. He'll be coming on the show in about 10, 15 minutes or so, and I know you're going to love him. We're going to be talking about a fascinating book, and it's all about healing, too, and a dog. So stay tuned because it's going to be a fascinating and interesting story as we talk with Filippo. But I wanted to, you know, I was asking my guides in that, what is the message that we needed to share this time of year? And of course, it's Christmas. And a lot of us who grew up in typical religions, Christian religions, and that, we are getting ready for the birth of Jesus and celebrating. I'm working at an Episcopal church in Colorado here, and of course, we are all decorated and ready and preparing for this special, special night. And I know sometimes I struggle with it a little bit. To me, it's all about the symbolism, and it's all about this wonderful soul that came to join us here on Earth. I struggle a little bit with the message that Jesus is the only Son of God, because I believe that we are all children of God. We are all a beautiful spark of God. And I think that was Jesus' message as well. It says in the Bible that he said, all that I can do, you can do as well. He came here to show us who we were, a divine spark of God, and to show us what we could do and what we could be. And his message was all about love. And especially right now in this time of turmoil and everything that's happening around the planet and all of the chaos, we all ask ourselves, well, what can I do? How can I shift things? And there is a way. We need to start with ourselves, and we need to go inward. That divine spark is in us. It's inward. It's not out there somewhere. And find that love that's in our heart. Love for ourselves. Love for every other human being. Love for all the plants and the animals and for Mother Earth. Love for everything. That's who we truly are. And we need to remember that. And this is the perfect time of year. There's so many wonderful things happening. So many wonderful stories. So many wonderful incidences and experiences where people are sharing their goodness, their love, their abundance with others. and bringing joy and happiness to other people. And that's what this time is about. Unfortunately, we usually forget about it after Christmas and we go back to our same old, but perhaps we can make it last a little longer. Perhaps we can carry that message in our heart all the time, that we are love. It's who we are as divine sparks, beautiful sparks of God. And I'm asking every one of you to remember that message, whether you are a Christian, whether you believe in Jesus. I think the underlying message is in all religions, the bottom line, the message is love. And be kind to one another. Treat others as you would like to be treated. And be open. Open to celebrating the differences in everyone. And not be afraid. There are only really two emotions, love and fear. And everything stems from those. And when we are afraid, when we're afraid of change, when we're afraid of people, when we're afraid of organizations or different experiences in that, we're afraid of change in general. It's all fear. It's all fear-based, and it limits us. We live in a limitless universe, and we need to celebrate that. And remember, again, we are a beautiful, beautiful divine spark of God. So during this holiday season, I ask everyone to it's time for us to let our light shine. Let it shine with joy and laughter and a sharing and openness for all beings on this planet. We have it in us. It's not alien to us. It's in us. It's just trying to come out. It's time to remember that. We've been working really, really hard as a society, as light workers, to shift the vibration of this planet and to move into a higher frequency where love is the starting point, not fear. So I ask everyone to step into that space of love and share it with everyone they come in contact with this beautiful holiday season, and enjoy it. Find the joy and the lights everywhere and the chiming bells and the smiles on people's faces and the children, and watch a Hallmark Channel movie if you need something to pick your spirits up. I do a lot of that this time of year. I love Hallmark. So we can find that joy, even when things are hard, even when we're going through some challenging times. Look for the joy in everything around you. It's there. And be open to it and bring it into your heart and then share it with everyone you come in contact with. Smile at the person when you're standing in line waiting and waiting to get checked out at the grocery store. And visit with the people next to you and share. Put some coins in the Salvation Army bucket. Share whatever you have. This is just such a beautiful time of year, and I absolutely love it. And we're going to share all of our love and light with Kimmy, that's for sure, because we want her to be healthy and back with us very, very soon. You know, we're going into the end of the year, and this has been a year of completion. 2016 has been an amazing year of completion. And I don't know about you, but I have been noticing a lot of things coming up, little things. I mean, there have been times when I wake up and I start remembering things that I've done. Not that they've been horrible, horrible things, but little things where I might have hurt somebody or disrespected someone. And I feel this terrible experience of shame and self-loathing for myself and think, how could I have acted that way? And so I work really hard to release that, recognize it, acknowledge it, and let it go. And it's been fascinating, the things that come up, things years ago, things, all kinds of things coming through that I'm being called to release and let go, because that's what we are. We're completing all of this, letting go of the past And it's time for us to decide what it is in our lives, what it is about who we are and everything that we're living right now, what we want to take with us as we move into a new year, into a new vibration, into a higher dimension. What do we want to take with us? We can't take any of our baggage with us anymore. We have to leave that baggage, that backpack, outside the door as we walk into this new space, this new frequency. So it's a good time to really examine your life and say, who am I now? Who do I want to be as I move forward? And let go of all that is not who I am anymore, all that does not serve me, and choose. We are creators after all. As Jesus said, all that he could do, we could do as well. We are master creators. We get to choose and create the new life that we want to step into as we move forward. And this is a perfect time of year to do that. So as you're wrapping up your Christmas season and moving forward and getting ready for the new year, choose who you are and what you want to be as you move forward. I had a great, somebody shared with me on Facebook a great quote. Let's see if I can remember it. The past does not determine your future. The past prepares you for your future. Think of all we've learned. Think of all we've experienced and all the wisdom we have. Over the years, that's what our life has been all about. It's been an amazing journey, ups, downs, twists, turns, and everything. But it's the journey that teaches. It's not reaching the end. And the journey continues. So look at your past with gratitude for all that you've learned, for all that you've experienced, and choose what you want to be and what you want your life to look like as you move forward. And put joy into it, and put love, and put laughter, and put amazing experiences. It's choose wisely and pick fun things. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be challenging. We are creators. Create what you want. Choose the joy in your life. Take some of this Christmas joy and carry it with you in your heart for the whole year. As we move into 2017, it doesn't have to go away. You are a beautiful spark. Think about what sparks you. This is my mantra for the new year. What sparks me? What turns me on? What makes me feel good? That's what I want to embrace. That's what I want more of. I say yes to the universe. Yes to more of that. Everything that brings me joy. Everything that brings me love and light. Everything that's exciting and new. It's a wonderful, wonderful adventure that we're stepping into. So I encourage all of you to find what brings you joy, what sparks you, what is amazing to you, and embrace that and carry that with you and leave behind all the fear and the lack and the old emotions and everything. Again, carry that love and joy of Christmas. I saw an amazing blog not too long ago, and it talked about churches and everything, and how, and it compared a church to base camp. So if you're going to church this holiday season, keep this in mind. It compared church to base camp. You know, base camp when you're hiking, like these high mountains and everything, you have to stop at base camp. And you get fed and you get warm and you get rejuvenated and everything before you go out. And it fills you up. Base camp fills you up before it sends you out again. And this is what church should be like. This is what meditation should be like. This is what whatever your spiritual beliefs should be like. It fills you up and rejuvenates you and fills your heart and fills your stomach and fills your whole body and rejuvenates you and sends you out again so that you can continue on your journey. So find a space sometime, find maybe during the holiday season, find your base camp and go and be filled up and then go out. And then when she ended this blog, she said, and then go out and be Jesus. Not proselytize Jesus, not try and sell anybody on Jesus, be Jesus. And again, Jesus was all about love. So this is your time to practice being Jesus and being love and sharing it with the world. We have to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be here with our special guest, Filippo Voltaggio. I hope I said his name right. And we're going to be talking about his new book. And I want to get this right. His new book called The Little Dog That Could. And it's a wonderful, wonderful story. If you're an animal lover, you're going to love this. If you're a healer, you're going to love this. Filippo's an amazing guy, and he had an amazing, amazing experience. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with our special guest, and we'll be on interviews on themixedtalk.com. Talk you won't hear anywhere else. We'll be right back after this.
Opinions expressed on all radio shows broadcast on the Mixed Talk Radio Network are entirely those of the hosts, guests, and callers, who are totally responsible for all show content and do not in any way reflect the opinions or an endorsement of the Mixed Talk Radio Network. Our clients are the respective staffs. The broadcasts are presented and made public in the hope that they will be entertaining to our many listeners. They're not intended to diagnose, treat, or mitigate in any way any disease or condition, or to promote any specific lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or any other personal practice. Enjoy what you hear on the Mixed Talk Radio Network, and know that any decision to take, use, consider, or share the information you hear is yours and yours alone. And thank you for listening to the Mixed Talk Radio Network.
I think we should have taken a left at the river.
Tarzan, no. Where Tarzan go?
Tarzan does not know where Tarzan go.
Hey, excuse me, do you know where the waterfall is? Waterfall?
No. Me, Tarzan. King of Jungle.
Why don't you want to just
If you're a couple,
somebody?
You fight over directions. It's what you do. If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
You have to do that right in my ear.
Have you paid mega bucks trying to market your business? Did Google AdWords drain your wallet dry? Does your business or your career need more exposure and visibility? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then listen up. The Mixed Talk is getting ready to grow and has openings for radio show hosts. Gain credentials as a media personality and an expert in your field. Call 740-994-0101 for details. Stop wasting your money on advertising that doesn't work. Call the Mixed Talk today, 740-994-0101.
Bunchy Funduzzos! Hey, surprise! You didn't think I was showing up, huh? Come on, you want heartburn? I got your heartburn right here. You want some meat? I got meat! Oh, sauce coming at you! Don't hold me back! You can't hold me back!
Heartburn. When your favorite food starts a fight,
you and me have been waiting to tango
fight back fast with Tums. Heartburn relief that neutralizes acid on contact and goes to work in seconds.
Tums!
Welcome back to Interviews. I'm Donna Vasaki here with you tonight on this the week before Christmas. My gosh, the holidays are going to be here before we know it. And we have a very special guest. I've been reading his book, and it just warms my heart. And I know you're going to love hearing this story and this amazing journey that our guest has been on. His name is Filippo Voltaggio. I'm going to make sure I say that right. And his new book is called The Little Dog That Could, and he brings to life the meaning of the old adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Two unlikely bedfellows meet by serendipity on a busy street one night, and that meeting would change both of their lives forever. Filippo shares a heartwarming story of love, miracles, and learning beyond current human understanding, and takes readers on a journey into the sixth sense and potentially beyond. Filippo Voltaggio is an author, public speaker, radio show host, singer, songwriter, entertainer, and life coach. He and his songs have been featured in several Hollywood films, including A Walk in the Clouds with Keanu Reeves and Noise with Tim Robbins. And he has earned President Barack Obama's President's Call to Service Award and the Master Award from the Save the World Foundation. Welcome to the show, Filippo.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you for having me. And a shout out to Kimmy. I hope she's feeling better.
Well, we're sending her lots of love and light, and I know you will too. So tell us how you came to write this book. Tell us about this story and this unlikely bedfellow that showed up in your life.
You know, I have to share a thought that just came to mind when you said it's the week before Christmas. My mind went, 'twas the week before Christmas and all was good. Not a creature was stirring except the little dog that could.
Oh, I love it.
Well, actually, it was much like that. It was a fairly quiet night in the sense that I had been at a loud party. It was a Hollywood party and saw celebrities, and it was all very fancy and fun and all that. And then my world got quiet. I got into the car, and it was just me and my thoughts and all that. And as I start going down the road, I see a little dog. I just knew she wanted to cross the street. And in my mind, I said, no, loudly, don't do it. Come to me. And then in my mind, I argued with myself saying, wait a minute, you can't have a dog. Your life is too busy. You can't have one where you live. You live alone. You know, you fly too often. So what is this about? And I the other voice won out saying, just do it. So I ran out into the street practically and rescued the dog. And what ensued later was, you know, who really rescued whom? that's the journey and how the journey starts.
And so I loved, you know, you're describing yourself a little bit with this dog and everything, and you're in your really nice car and your very nice clothes and everything. You're, you know, it sounds like you're a little, what's the word, compulsive.
Don't say it.
You know, and here this dog's climbing on my nice, first she's on my nice car seats and everything, and then she's climbing on
my
lap,
silk
on my silk pants and everything, and she really had a place here, you know. It's good that you listen. So you get
Absolutely.
This dog, and you bring her home. Because it
right.
get her out of the road, and then what?
Yes, I guess I thought she's going to have a tag on her, and you know, we'll find the owners, or somebody's going to look for her. She'll post. It was in my neighborhood, so figuring somebody would post something. There are many things that I thought of that surely I would find the dog's keeper, the dog's owner, and as a matter of fact, I had recently met. A woman by the name of Dorothy Donahue, who's very significant in the book and the story and in my personal journey. She's now the executive producer of our show, The Life Changes Show. But at the time, I had recently met her, and I didn't know her very well, but I knew she was a spiritual healer and a seer and all of that. And so I felt compelled to call her. She was in San Diego. I was in Los Angeles. Hours away, and yet I felt compelled to call her and to share with her that I came across this dog, feeling like it was significant, but it's significant enough for her to know. I don't know why I needed my spiritual advisor to know. And she said, oh, yes, they told me something would happen. And I'm like, they told you what? And she said something like, the last time you were here, I don't know. And so it's a little dog. That's how your teacher came or something like that. And I thought that was odd. And then I said, well, I don't know about any of that. But anyway, I'm in the process of finding her owner, and that'll be that. I just felt like telling you. And she says, right, yeah, no, she's your dog. And I said, no, you don't understand. I can't keep a dog. And she says, right, no, she's your dog. And I'm like, I can't. And I argued with her. And she said, look, they tell me that she's your dog until you learn the lesson. And I thought that was an odd thing. I hung up the phone, said goodbye, and hung up the phone. And as one day passed and still nobody claimed her, and another day, and the various things I tried posting here and there didn't work, I realized I needed to find somebody else who would now take the dog. And a couple of days turned into a couple of weeks turned into a couple of months, and I still had this dog. So I thought, if what Dorothy told me is true, then maybe I should just hurry up and learn the lesson. And so I would walk around with the dog trying to get what is the lesson. And half of the story in the book is me getting into the five senses, like really, really connecting with touch and feel and sight and sound and smell all over again, and watching the dog do it, Chichina, I called her, and then seeing if I could do similarly what she could. What I started to realize is that we talk a lot about being in the moment. However, how is it that we could be in the moment, like we meditate this and that, but can we really be in the moment if we're walking through the moment without having a sense of what we just felt with our hands or saw with our eyes or tasted with our mouth? And so I thought, wow, these are great lessons. This is great. I've learned something amazing. And now I'll find the dog's home, a new home. But no, it wasn't supposed to be like that.
And you really grew attached to her too, right?
What's that?
You really grew attached to her, yeah.
I did. I'm a dog lover. It's just that my life at the time and currently still can't really keep a dog. And so that was the way it was. And then this major thing happened, which is a hard part of the story to share. And also, it's so significant and everybody experiences the journey differently that I don't yet feel comfortable sharing, so I don't take away that part of the journey. And people can guess what it is, but it was horrible and difficult to deal with. However, it didn't end there. And so once again, I called Dorothy after that happened, and I shared with her what had happened and how horrible it was. And Dorothy said, they told me it would happen soon, and they told me that you knew what to do. And I broke down a couple times because it just seemed like so big and so beyond how I normally think and the people around me think. And this knowing that I needed to connect with, according to Dorothy, just seemed like it was something that was familiar to me, and at the same time, I didn't tap into it on a normal day-to-day basis, and so it scared me, really.
What does it feel like when you tap into this knowing, as you call it?
You know, I would touch and go. I would have this experience of, I know this. And then I would act upon my knowing. And then what my knowing told me would happen, which was amazing and miraculous. And then I would say, this is impossible. How does this happen? It's like completely almost disavowing what I'm seeing and what is happening, which to me, that is maybe one of the reasons why it took me 9 years or so to actually release the book, because I still don't know today how to be that person in the second half of the book every day of my life. And I don't know if I'll I'll ever be that person, but I certainly am striving to be that person. And I don't know if any of us can be that, which is, completely connected and feeling the certainty and the understanding that come from answers beyond my rational, quote unquote, thinking brain. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I can relate.
You know.
Exactly. You have these amazing experiences and you're so in the flow and it feels just right. And then you can wake up the next day and it's gone. And it's like, wait a minute, what happened here?
Right.
And then you wonder, do I really have this? Do I really know what I'm talking about? So do you feel like part of that knowing was that your dog, and say her name,
Chichina.
Do you think it was part of it was Chichina? Were you connecting with Chinchina?
That's a good question. Yes, I felt like I was connecting with Chichina. Another way might be to describe that we might have both connected with, something greater than
them.
Ourselves.
Them.
And both of those and so much more. So absolutely. It's interesting to note that you said that you wanted to know what happened after. Can I share now or should we wait a little longer?
No, that's okay.
Because just a couple months ago, and I met this woman who was an animal communicator, and we actually had her on our show. And just before the show started, I made the connection to my book. When I'm focused on the Life Changes show, it's all about the Life Changes show. And so I'm not thinking of me as a singer. I'm not thinking of me as an author or what have you, or a life coach, although sometimes stories come in, but it's about the guest. And so I like to make the shows about the guests, and as you're doing, and I appreciate that, Donna. And so that was where my mind was. But just before the show started, I said, oh, wait, I have to talk to you. And she looked at me and I said, you're an animal communicator. And I could just see her in her face. It's like, I thought that's why I was here. Did he just figure this out? And it's not that I had just figured it out. It was that I just connected with the fact that I wrote a book about a story and experience I had with a dog. And so as soon as I said that out loud, over the loudspeakers in the studio, we hear, and you're on in 5, 4, 3. So I said, I'll call you tomorrow. So after the show, I called her the next day and I said, I have this story. Can you communicate with the dog about something that happened at this point 10 years or so ago? And she said, sure, dogs remember. And so she said, send me a list of questions, your picture and her picture, which I did. And she called me right away and she said, this is the most unusual request I've ever had, because I wanted to know, did she experience what I experienced? And while I was experiencing it, what was she thinking? And what was her reason for coming into my life? And within a couple of days, I got answers from her. And she said this. She said, the dog had a mission for coming into my life and knew exactly what it was, and that it was to help you with your heart chakra and a couple other things. And I thought, oh, she could have read the book.
Mm-hmm.
She could have ordered it online and all that. She's not that kind of person, I come to find out later. So she had not read the book, but my mind wanted to believe. But then, Diana Del Monte, by the way, is her name. And then by the end of the email, she had me in tears because she shared with me things that I forgot to put in the book. And that did happen. And only the dog and I would know.
Oh, wow. And did she remember you? And so her purpose was to help you. That's why she was here.
Right.
And what is she, what's she doing now? Is Chichina still around? And is she happy? And she
I hate to give it away, but okay. Yes, I do want people to know the book has a very happy ending.
Yes.
And it takes a while to get there, an arduous while at one point. However, when the miracles start happening, it starts to go fast again. And I've been told by people, and it's amazing to me because when I was reading the book, I was also looking for I's that were not dotted and T's that were not crossed. But it took me a long time to get through the book. But people say, many people have said, as soon as they've got it, even somebody wrote on my Amazon page, they said Amazon delivered it today and I finished it tonight because I couldn't put it down.
Yeah, it's that kind of book. You want to see what happens. You want to see where it goes. And you're right. You have to just keep reading. So how has this changed you? And I know you learned a lot. And are you still able to use those things that you learned, the different abilities and things like that in your present life? And how has it changed you?
Well, very good question. And the answer overall would be yes and yes and very much yes. I was changed by the experience, and it was a lot for me to take in at the time. And also I did a lot, so it's hard to pinpoint this was the key thing that worked, but what worked was my understanding was love and connection and the higher power and the more that we are and all of that. So I should say the first half of the book is about mainly the five senses and a little bit of my ego in there. And then the second half is about breaking down my ego and going into the sixth sense and beyond. So the first part reminded me of when I was a child. I did like to touch a lot of things, and I used to, my senses were more awake, and I come to learn that babies especially have more awareness of their senses, and that would make sense. And we start to lose them, the awareness and also the synapses or what have you in the brain as we get older, because we think we don't need them because we have TV or we have computers.
Yeah.
We don't need to, so we start to lose that. And in our world, we're losing that anyway right now with some fake food and some fake scents and some fake products and all that stuff. So we lose, a lot of plastic as opposed to natural woods. So we don't feel the same. We don't get the same energy or feeling out of things. So in the first first half, I did learn to connect more with my senses, and I continue that. It connected me to my childhood and how much I like that. So I give myself permission, or I encourage myself to sometimes just stand and take in the smell of whatever's happening when I enter a room, or to feel plaster on the wall or whatever, just to connect myself with this moment using the senses more. And then going into the sixth sense and beyond, absolutely. And it is the part that I would like to be able to do more of. And we talked a little bit about that we all are more than what we think we are and what we talk about on a day in and day out basis, and more than what it is that we do and all of that. So it inspired a course, which I call the recalibration, to recalibrate who we thought we were into who we actually are, whether we touch into the sixth sense part of it or not. It just depends on where people are in their journey. But the course allows people to expand their awareness, which is exactly what happened in the journey in the book. expanding my awareness of myself and my world and what's beyond the world that I currently think is so important and the only thing.
You know, when you were talking, I wanted just to share this little story. When you were talking about using our five senses and being out in nature and noticing everything, I remember taking my grandson for a walk. He was probably 3 years old, three or four or something. And he says, and we're in the woods on this little trail, and he says, "Nana, don't walk so fast. You miss everything. You miss everything when you go too fast." And he would see, like, you know, faces in the stumps of trees and all kinds of amazing creative things in that. He was a great teacher for me. And we lose that. You know, now they just have their fingers and their faces and their iPhones and they're tapping away and they do lose track. Though I like to think that if, you know, people are more, I think, more into their senses in many ways. You know, a lot of the younger people and that, they're all about cooking and experiences as opposed to just stuff. And, you know, making real food. I mean, and I'm sure in California, and we're in I'm in Colorado and close to Boulder, and you know, a lot of everything's organic and natural foods and farm to table, and we're all into cooking and tasting and you know, the food as an experience. More and more people, I think, especially the younger people. So maybe there's hope for us.
Oh, I certainly believe that there is. If I tap into my knowing, I get a yes.
Good. So, have you been able to keep that ability up, the ability to tap into that knowing and to use it in other ways in your life?
Yes. It's one of the reasons why I put the book out. I've had some people say, you know, if you could do that, or so you could do that, or so this is what you do, referring to some of the miracles and all that in the book. And I thought, no, this is not about me. If this were about me and, hey, look what I could do, I would have told the world, or at least my friends. None of my friends even knew this story, because I would break down when I shared it, because it was just so big for me to take this in, and in the way that it happened and all of that, and just the feeling and the sense that I got that there is more happening here than I even know. And it might not have anything or too much to do with what I'm doing. It's the fact that I believe, or that I know, or that I'm present, or that I love, or that God is coming through, or, you know, whatever it is, this is beyond me. So the reason it took so long to get it out there is, again, because I can't be that person all the time. And I realize maybe I'm not supposed to be, but good thing is that I am trying. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is to have this conversation exactly like you and I are having. And so I envision everybody that buys this book to have some kind of feeling about it, that they talk to somebody saying, do you believe this really happened? Do you think we could do this? Do you, you know, as opposed to just talking about the latest whatever celebrity is doing. Let's talk about the more that we could be, or the more that this guy thinks he is, but at least we're having a conversation and putting the energy out there.
I love that. Yeah. I think,
of course, you always do. I could tell. So, so I'm preaching to the choir, but
right,
thanks to people like you, this is why.
It took me a while, and you know, we all have to start somewhere. You know, we all have our experience, most of us, I think, you know, some experience that shifts us and puts us in this other place where we are forced to learn this, to experience this and that. And so, you know, we all started on the other side where, you know, we didn't, you know, with this, we were oblivious to all of this. I mean, that was my story. I mean, I was oblivious to all of this. And And now all of a sudden it's become who you are. You know, but it wasn't there. We all started somewhere else, most of us.
Right. And ironically, as a child, I was connected to a lot of this. And maybe most of us are maybe as babies, but I remember it continuing into late childhood. And literally having it beat out of me in a sense, maybe because I didn't know how to share the information that I was connected to, and therefore maybe I came across arrogant or as a know-it-all, or maybe elders didn't know or adults didn't know that they were supposed to listen to children, or that the children might actually know something. And so that might have been the culture or how we dealt with things at the time, and there are still people who feel that. I did forget a lot of things that I had to be reconnected with. What I didn't forget is that I would say that when I get older, I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to listen to the children. And so I love what you said about your grandson. I love that you're having me on. And I love that on our show, we have a lot of millennials or younger people sharing what it is that's important to them, because there may be secrets that or things that they come in with that are important for our world today.
I agree. Do you feel like these younger people have a little bit different perspective, or maybe come in more open and more in tune already? They don't have to go through some of the experiences that others have had to. What are you getting from that group?
This is my understanding, and I continually ask the question from my personal life, whether it's with my nieces and nephews and friends, their children of my friends, or on the show professionally, or as clients, when I'm working with clients, it is the feeling that I get that, and it makes sense that this next generation or the generation after that, it doesn't have the same concerns that we did, and the generation before us and the generation before us. And so it's not everybody that is more conscientious, but those that are at a level that is beyond what I see in a lot of adults.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah, there's more of them who are awake, I guess is the word. You know, they're more open and they're more in tune. And I think as the younger people, the babies coming up, I read somewhere after 2012 that the new babies born after 2012 come in without the veils. So they actually are connected and they can see, and it's just part of who they are from day one.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see as they get older.
And that's exciting. And it sure seems like all kinds of veils are lifting right now. And so if there's ever a time for a different conversation, then now is the time. So a lot of people can be depressed about what's going on in the world, and understandably so. And at the same time, some people are excited, not for exactly how it's going down, but the fact that there is a change happening. And this kind of conversation on a more public forum, I trust that nobody's going to be burned at the stake for this kind of conversation anymore. And more and more, this will be the topic of the day rather than the one that's talked about hush-hush in dark buildings,
right.
If you know what I mean. And I believe that the children, the way I look at it is if they are more open, then they are like the crown chakra, where they're connected with something and all that. And some of the adults who don't have that connection could be like the lower chakras, and we all need each other. So the adults don't need to be afraid of the children coming in. The children still need us, and the adults could understand, I believe, that we need the children as well.
I agree. Perfect. So tell everybody more about what you do. I know you do some workshops, you do some coaching, I think. Tell everybody more about what you do, and besides, and tell us about your radio show.
Very good. Well, so you asked earlier how the dog experience changed me. It obviously is never just one thing, and so between Dorothy and the many people that the student was ready that had have come into my life, I've learned a lot and been encouraged to use what I've learned in my past careers as a junior manager at IBM to performing on stages in front of thousands of people with full orchestra and being on TV and all that. I've had a lot of changes in my life, and it just seems that I was supposed to experience all these things so that when I am sharing, I draw upon so much. It gives the story much more depth, the lessons much more depth, and it's fun, and we learn better through fun. So I went into life coaching, and then from life coaching and the experience with the dog and the work that I did with Dorothy and her energetic alchemy course, which is now taught as part of the Life Changes show and network and all that, I developed the recalibration. And so now that's currently done as a weekend course for groups, and it's also done in corporate. More companies are starting to get interested in this kind of work, and so it's exciting to watch all this happen. And at the same time, we like to encourage some people who don't have voices. We feel like our show's almost a megaphone, like what you're doing here, to bring out more of this information. And so we're looking forward to growing the Life Changes show from radio to video and live events, and that way people can experience what we are talking about on a grander scale and have more fun with it.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And what's your website?
So the book, The Little Dog That Could, is exactly that, thelittledogthatcould.com. And if people go there, there are links on Amazon and Barnes & Noble to get the book either as a Kindle or a soft cover book. And that page, thelittledog.com, is part of our whole umbrella lifechangesshow.com, where people can find 407 or 8 at this point archived shows of many interesting conversations like the one I feel we're having with you, Donna.
Good.
And the recalibration is also there. It's actually therecalibration.com, but it's also available there. So there are other courses as well, but it's all under that umbrella, and those who are interested can certainly peruse.
Well, lots of fascinating things. It's just, it's such an interesting time. And I love hearing stories of how people, you know, were shifted, or the things that happened to them that woke them up. And so you actually, you know, you had a wake up call in the form of a dog, and you know, other people have had other experiences. Some people have had dark nights of the soul and, you know, amazing challenges in that. But it's all happening to help us wake up and remember who we are. So it's exciting that you're able to do this. So did it kind of put you on a different path then from, you know, what you were doing now? Did it really shift things, or are you still doing a lot? Are you still doing music and everything, or
well,
not?
I'm still doing music. The music has a different focus now, and so and my performances have another understanding of what's really happening on stage. I actually got into more, I was asking the questions because, yes, we won't get into it now, but it's usually never just one thing. So I had a car accident and two near-death experiences.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
You know, all kinds of things to try and wake me up. And so each thing got me a little further, but I wasn't getting it. It was actually somebody who was very religious, and I was really surprised that they would come up with something like this. They said, you know, you need to look at your life. It was two people in my life, actually, that said, you really need to look at your life. God is talking to you. Now, that's not the way that I was brought up, that God talked to us through these kinds of things, but they were right. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I still sing, and I still do all these other things, though that's not where my focus is. My focus is the show and the workshops. However, I have to say that it's also become part of my mission to not let myself be too small, and or rather not keep myself small. Yes, I can do all these things, and some of these things I do well. There are plenty of things that I don't know how to do and never will, I'm sure. However, this is me being more than I thought I could be. And in a way, it's part of my mission to maybe give permission or have somebody say, well, if he could do all that, I could do this. I could do that. I don't have to be just a this.
Good for you. Yeah. It's amazing that you had, it took you so long to wake up that you had all of these experiences. But I guess that's exactly what the universe does is keep, you know, bumping us up the side of the head until we figure it out. I used to have a magazine, and we sold it last spring, and a friend of mine who's very intuitive said, I see 6 months forced relaxation. And I thought, I want to make this an easy, gentle forced relaxation. You know, I don't want to end up breaking my leg or being stuck in bed or, you know, something like that. So I was trying to just really stay in tune and stay connected and not do anything that would force me to, you know, learn the hard way.
Good for you. Good for you.
So far it's worked.
Good for you. I've had some interesting experiences like that where I've seen things in pairs, like they both come into my life. And at one point, there was somebody that I was coaching that, or they came to me afterwards, but I knew of their story and was losing the business, was losing the house. And basically, what quote unquote God was trying to tell them is you're in the wrong business, you're in the wrong place. And then somebody else entirely different at the same time decided that this isn't the place they needed to be. This wasn't what they needed to be doing. So they were selling everything in their house and their house so that they could have the money to move. Where completely different contracts where one was resisting the call. And so they had to lose everything. And the other one was anticipating it and flowing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the universe works really hard at trying to guide us and nudge us and everything. So we're going to have to wrap this up. We've got just a couple minutes left. And it's been so much fun talking to you. And I loved your book, The Little Dog That Could. It's a beautiful book. Whether you're dog lover or not, you're going to love this story, much more of a deeper message than about a little dog. And this is a very powerful dog, and you're going to love it. So please check it out. It's a great Christmas gift if you haven't gotten all your Christmas shopping done yet. The Little Dog That Could by Filippo Voltaggio. Hope I said that right. And it's just been wonderful. So any last few, what's the number one message you want to share with our listeners this holiday season, this end of the year, as we're stepping into New Year? What would you like them to know?
You know, as we are stepping into the new year and a lot of people make resolutions and all that, I just would like to say that the possibilities of us being more than what we are and actually being happier than most of us are there. So let's see if we can find them for ourselves individually and collectively for our planet.
I love that. I think the thing, and I was talking about this a little bit before you came on, is that we have a choice. You know, we always have choice. We have choice in how we react to things. We have choice in how we see things. We can choose to be happy or unhappy. And this is a great time of year to be happy. So on behalf of Filippo and Kimmy and myself, we wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We will not be doing a show next week. We're taking the week off, and that'll give Kimmy some time to recuperate. But we will be back in January, and we invite you to join us again. So, again, happy holidays to everybody. Have a wonderful year. Thank you so much, Filippo, for being with us. And stay tuned, because I want to talk to you off the air. We'll be back on interviews. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll be back on interviews in January.